When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And it continues. A magical run in Madison Square Garden. And now it's the Rangers' turn. 4-3 last night over the Capitals. They're up 2 games to none. Stump Rothenberg today. Mel Kiper Jr. today. Stuff you missed today. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
What a day. What a day. Right? I didn't think a Stump Wednesday could get any better, but you're telling me right now we had Field Yates on his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, Field Yates got carded at a casino in Detroit, because he looks that good.
Well, it's not that he looks that good. He looks that young.
Well, I think that's, I mean, goes hand in hand, no? But, I mean, when you're an attractive guy and you look that young,
I don't think being attractive has anything to do with getting carded. I think it just, and I'm not saying he's not attractive. I think he is attractive. But I don't think necessarily that being attractive is involved in getting carded. He just looks young.
Well, which is good, though, is my point.
It is good.
If he was ugly and he got carded because he looked young, he would still be a young-looking ugly guy. We already know that Field Yates is handsome, doesn't love the fact that he's getting older. We settled at 27 years old, gets carded, got to feel great.
Got to feel great.
Got to
like
feel great.
Like $1 million. Could you imagine that? When was the last time you got carded?
Ooh.
I never get. I'm 51. I don't get carded. I've been carded in probably 25 years.
Right. Well, you got gray hair.
Well, now I do. I haven't always.
A couple years ago, maybe.
You got carded within the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Well, I have no gray hair when I shave. Like when I'm freshly shaved.
Right.
And I'm going to try to buy...
But I don't think, listen, I'm not saying you're not an attractive guy, but I would never look at you and say that guy is not 21 years old.
No, right. But see, I'm at a point in my age that it's like... It's just an inconvenience. I'm not flattered. It's like, come on, man.
No, you would be flattered.
If you walked in to buy a
bottle of wine and they're like, can we see some identification, confirm you're over 21? Yes,
well, no.
You would be.
Well, no, because there's sometimes when I'm going to get something, if I'm going to grab whatever it is, I don't necessarily have my full wallet. Maybe I'll just take my credit card with me and they're like, we need to see your ID. I'm like, no. I mean, come on, man. I'm 40. Let's say, what are we doing here?
Well, yeah, if you don't have your ID on you,
right.
I don't see that. Otherwise,
okay.
So
you missed the point,
like,
though.
It's a nice thing.
Right, but you're missing the point.
I don't think so.
Yes, this is the point, is that we follow up Field Yates on his birthday on my favorite day, which is your day,
right,
with Mel Kiper.
That's right.
That doesn't get better than that.
That's very. And the draft is tomorrow. Right, think about how long we've been dissecting the draft and you know, mock drafts and Mel Kiper and having Field and going through and what are the Giants doing? What are the Jets doing? Drake May and Brock Bowers and Jets move back. Jets move up now. Right? And now it's here.
Yeah.
And now
it's tomorrow is the draft. Tomorrow are the Knicks and the Islanders. Last night, Yankees with a win. Not looking great, but a win nonetheless. Mets with a loss. They can't score all of a sudden, although Severino, I thought, looked good.
Yep.
And then the Rangers take care of business. I mean, what a time. I can't believe this is unbelievable what's happening right now with the Rangers and the Knicks, and it's magical again.
It is magical again, and it reminds you of, right? I mean, it's funny, just a coincidence, whatever you want to call it. I mean, 94 now, where all of a sudden with the Rangers winning the President's Trophy, number one seed, Knicks with the 2 seed, taking care of business at home. I mean, this is what they're... Now, the Knicks series is different just because it doesn't feel like... Or it isn't. The Sixers aren't a run-of-the-mill seven seed where you're expecting... I expect them to win. You expect them to win. But there's a lot of people that say the Sixers, I mean, going into the series, had a real chance to win. They still have a chance. But with the Rangers, you fully expect them to take care of their business against the Capitals.
Oh, I got to be honest with you. I don't even watch the game stressed at this point. Like Alex is like, well, you're not going nuts. It's like, well, because I expect to win this series, right? And they fell behind 1-0. It's like, you worried? I was like, no, I'm not worried. The Rangers, if they play their game, they're just better. And I think considerably better than Washington.
Right. And again, they expected it. I expected it. It's, they lose. Capitals lose game one. First period was kind of a slog in game one. Came out in the first period of game two. Pace was better. They end up scoring first. Great response by the Rangers. And, I mean, as good as Panarin was, and he was great, Vincent Trocheck has been
great. Yeah,
awesome for you guys. And Vincent Trocheck is the kind of player, he's their Josh Hart. That's who Vincent Trocheck is. He is built to play in the postseason. I mean, he had the goal, had the great pass on the Mika power play goal, was awesome in the faceoff circle. Like, this guy is, the prototypical perfect guy for the playoffs. I actually think it's good that the Rangers get tested a little bit, right? I mean, this is, you said it, you're right. If both teams play their best, Rangers easily win the series. The Rangers are a better team. You start making mistakes, start taking too many penalties, and their penalty kill has been really good. And I'm sure they don't mind going back and forth, exchanging, power plays,
right?
Because the Rangers have a really good power play and a really good penalty kill. But Rempe taking a penalty, they end up scoring on that. The too many men on the ice, that's something that can't happen. That's just a stupid penalty, and they end up scoring on that.
Stupid penalty, yes.
And then VC at the end, I mean, he had time, wide open net. The second he missed that net, I was like, oh no.
Well, and it's not like it was 8 seconds left, right?
No.
Like, he missed the net. It's like 2 minutes and 20 seconds left after he missed the goal.
Right, and tell me your first thought was, that's going to come back to bite us.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, I did feel like that. Although I never, and maybe I'm silly for this, I never had like a major concern they were not going to win that game. Never.
No, I'm not saying that they would have lost in overtime. I'm just saying, like, usually stuff like that happens
when you have an opportunity, you got to close it out, right?
Right, or in that spot, you just chip it out. Make sure you don't ice it. He had plenty of time. Should have hit the empty net, but usually stuff like that. And you saw how the mad scramble that ensued to try to close out that win last night.
It was certainly stressful. Washington, I thought Washington played a much better game in game two than they did in game one. But again, the Rangers are better. They are. And, like you mentioned, Trocheck, I think Zibanejad looks way different than he did in the regular. Like, he looks like he is primed for a real serious postseason here. Shesterkin, I thought, played pretty well again. And, like we mentioned, they're just more talented. They go out and they win 4-3. How about that goal from Miller? We're talking about that in the pre-show meeting. And that was shorthanded. What a gorgeous goal.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, they're special teams. The Rangers' special teams is really, really good.
Well, they scored 3 goals on special teams of the 4 goals last night?
Yeah, 2 power play and then the shorthanded goal,
right,
which is a killer. I mean, that's devastating, especially when like you heard, I don't know if you listened to any of the post game, just the coach of the Capitals saying, as many good plays as we made, the glaring mistakes, getting scored on, Ovi turning that puck over, getting scored on the power play, we're not good enough. This team isn't good enough. Their margin for error is so slim against a team like the Rangers that they can't afford to make mistakes like that. And you give the Rangers credit for making them pay. Like, you're right. I mean, Kreider's done a really good job on Ovi on the power play, because that's their power play is, Ovi in his office, and Kreider's done a really good job with that. But the poise down the ice, I mean, the amount of passes that were made, and the first thing my wife said is, how did Mika know that Miller was there? I'm like, because he's really good.
Yeah, because he's Mika. Yeah, he just has this sixth sense, right?
Yeah, you can feel it. I'm sure he was talking. I'm sure Miller was calling his name, and he makes a great pass. They bury it. But, yeah, what I like, too, about this is when you play a team that's not as skilled as you are, you kind of know what you're in for. It's the Capitals. It's Tom Wilson. It's going to be rough. It's going to be physical. You saw TJ Oshie, and we'll talk about the hit. But, high stuck Panarin in the face. They missed that. Headlock on Panarin. They're going to try to be hard, physical on your best players.
Well, shouldn't they?
They should.
I mean, as a Rangers fan, you don't like to see it, but wouldn't the game plan for a less talented team be, let's be as physical and get in the face of an Adam Fox and a Panarin and their skilled smaller guys?
Right, and it's how is your team going to respond? How will this Rangers team respond? I mean, a lot of people that you hear talk about the Rangers say, You know, will they be tough enough to make it through the playoffs, right? If they play a team like the Panthers, who like to mix it up, will they be able to respond? And you saw last night that this Rangers team is not afraid to respond. Like, even had Shesterkin on that play, so the hit, puck comes down the ice, Shesterkin takes a run on Carlson. I love it. I don't know how you couldn't.
Well, then I can be pushed around. And I think you made that perfectly evident. And you know, Rempe's got to be careful and not pick up stupid penalties. Like, the only way the Rangers don't win this series is in my mind, is if they don't play smart.
Right.
If they take stupid penalties, then that would be the only way. But they're far superior to Washington.
Yeah. I mean, their special teams are really both sides. Penalty kill's great. Power play's really good. They know, I'm sure Lavi knows, that this is a series that they need to just take care of their business. Like, the extra stuff, some of that stuff will come. You know, Tom Wilson elbowing Cooley in the face off the faceoff. Like,
but how do they, and again,
I don't know.
Initiated, we get into it, and the NBA came out and said they screwed up, and we'll get into that as well. But, I mean, not Lafreniere, Panarin got you know, hit with the stick in the helmet.
That was Oshie hit him in the face.
And they called nothing. Cooley, I mean, they had to separate them at the start of the face-off because they knew that something was brewing. Then he gets elbowed in the face. They call nothing. Zibanejad gets, tripped clear as day. They call nothing. I don't understand how they miss all these things.
Well, Wilson, too, he's a grizzled vet, right? As soon as ref turns his back, boom, elbow to the face. Like, he's smart. I mean, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get the better players, the skilled players, off their game or have them play with a little hesitation. Like, do I want to go to this spot? Do I want to go in the corner? Do I want to go in front of the net? And the fact that the Rangers have responded the way that they've responded and aren't afraid and will even be the ones to instigate the physicality is something I like. Now, Panarin hit. I've watched it 100 times. It was to the head. That's why they looked at it.
They didn't call a penalty on it.
They didn't call a penalty. They reviewed it for being a major because it's a hit to the head. It looked to me, it wasn't an elbow, it was a shoulder. It looked like it was kind of the level of where TJ Oshie was at. I heard someone say that it might have been late, but you can see as the puck is coming off Oshie's stick that Panarin recognizes he's got his head down and I'm going to make him pay for this. And that's exactly what he did. The fact that that's Panarin, I mean, you understand what that does for the locker room, right?
I'm sure.
That your most skilled player, the player that has, you know, struggled in the postseason, and maybe part of that is just the how extra physical and the attention he's being paid is the one that is involved in that.
Probably happened is he was at the end of his rope. He's like, I'm sick and tired of this team going after me and hitting me and hitting me high and hitting me dirty. And you know what? Now I'm going to answer. I, there's an opportunity. I'm going to answer. And he did.
I love it. I love it. Now you don't want to see anyone get hit in the head.
No,
right?
Of course not. But it's nice to see your skilled player get annoyed and respond.
Right. I mean, it's... It's a fine line you got to walk, but the idea of your best player being the one that wants to initiate that kind of physicality, what that does for your team. And I think that all started. I mean, I don't want to give Rempe all the credit, but when you have someone like him that is there to protect his teammates and how everyone bought in, that I'm telling you, man, going back to that 5-on-5 brawl against the Devils, the fact that every single guy got involved and were eager to get involved told me that this team was going to be ready for what the playoffs were going to have in store for them. Because that was not, like, they didn't, all five guys did not have to participate.
Right, but
like,
they wanted to get involved.
Well, you saw the Devils guys. The Devils guys didn't expect. There were two Devils guys that had no clue they were getting involved in that thing. Like, the second that puck dropped, it wasn't even Rempe that had the first fight. It was Vesey, and then it was Goudreau. It was like, they were ready. It was not going to be just Matt Rempe that was going to be responsible for protecting this team or answering the bell with the physicality. Everyone was going to answer the bell. And that's going to carry them a long way because they're going to get tested quite a bit. Because that would be the one thing.
They have a rough road. This round is not a rough round. But, I mean, if you win this series, and again, I don't want to jump to conclusions because last year the Rangers led 2-0 at, you know.
Different,
and
though. That was a better,
you know what?
Better but Devils team.
Of course. But I still just witnessed that. So I'm not looking ahead. But if you got to go Carolina, Florida, oof. I mean, this is a rough road. But you know what? I think they're up for the challenge.
How about this, though?
Excellent team.
How about this, though? This is what's crazy about you, is you don't want to get ahead of yourself with a team that was the best team in the NHL,
right,
won the President's Trophy, playing a team that is not close to as good as they are. You don't want to jump ahead.
That's right.
But Knicks, where your best player isn't playing at his best, going up against the Sixers, you're like, F the Sixers. We're winning in five, baby.
Well, yeah, but I think the Rangers are winning too. I think the Rangers have a good chance to sweep the series. I just don't want to start thinking about, and the same with the Knicks, I don't want to start thinking about Indiana or Milwaukee. I don't want to start thinking about Carolina. Yeah, I mean, you're right. And you know what it is also? I care more about the Rangers. So I think because you care more, maybe you're a little more anxious about it. You're a little more uneasy. But I stand by it. I think the Rangers are going to have their way with Carolina and win the series. And like I've said the whole time, I think the Knicks are going to win the series as well.
Well, I think it's also the scar tissue of what you just said, too. Watching them blow a 2-0 lead to the Devils
right. Last
season.
Yeah, which was brutal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is brutal.
But you know what? Maybe blessing in disguise. They win that series. Maybe you don't make a change at the head coach.
How about the shot from Rostovic last night?
Oh.
Holy moly.
You almost couldn't even tell it went in. It was in and out so quick.
Yeah, short side, over his shoulder, snipe.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous. 1-800-919-3776. A lot of NFL draft today. A lot of rumblings with the Giants about moving up for Drake May. And you heard Field yesterday, the young-looking Field Yates, say, because we asked him, like, I've heard a lot of people don't like Drake May, and he's like, you know what? So talented. Just so talented. Did he have a great junior season? No, but so talented. So we will get into all the conversation. We have Stump Rothenberg at 7:45. We have Mel Kiper at 8:30. We start out with the Rangers. We'll get to the Knicks, the Yankees, the Mets, all of it. Islanders as well. Tonight, kind of like a little, all right, take a breath and compose yourself, because it's the Mets this afternoon, Yankees tonight, but Knicks, Islanders, Rangers, all off. So phone lines open, 1-800-919-3776. DNR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Love it. Confused by it.
Shout out to Vincent Trocheck.
Oh, okay.
I gotta tell you, a lot of my ideas, I'm not very original. I'll hear a song at the PA at the Garden or something, and I'll say, hey, you know what? That's a good one. I should use that at some point. The Ray Castoldi, the guy who plays the organ at the Garden.
Yeah. What's his name?
Ray Castoldi.
Ray Castoldi, okay.
Yeah, so he played this on the organ, and I was like, you know what? That's a good one. I'm going to use that at some point.
You know what I like about these guys, Rick, is you know the story of when we were at an after-hours establishment years ago and RJ was listening to the music. Like, naked ladies were literally dancing by, and RJ's like, you know, this song would be good for a rejoin. Raymond has much the same in him as well, is no matter where he is, no matter what time it is, no matter the locale of where he is, he's always thinking about the betterment for the show.
Yeah, I was just more interested in Raymond playing the organ. We're listening to how closely he listens to that.
Again, that's another one. As soon as I said it, I knew where right. I knew where
but,
it was going
to
be
taken.
But
you know, you shouldn't. Here's the thing: you shouldn't have to. With Rick, it's you're constantly walking on eggshells, constantly.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sleepwalking on eggshells right now. I'm just trying to get through the show, Dave.
You know the guy is struggling.
It's been a fantastic 4 days, but it's been a long 4 days.
Well, it's not over yet.
There's an expectation. Listen, Dave, there's an expectation that when things are said, I have to respond, okay? We both know how good RJ is and how good Raymond are. Their job doesn't stop when they walk out of the studio. They recognize that they're constantly searching for content for the show. That's why they're the best.
That's why they're the best. So, Rangers with a great win. I'd tell you what, I can take the night off. Not that it's a complete night off, because there's a lot of postseason action, but as far as the stress level, I welcome the night off. I do.
Yeah, we probably needed it, right? Like at a certain point. I mean,
well, tomorrow's gonna be a long late night,
right? Especially you, though. I mean, I give you credit all the time. Just I mean, how involved emotionally you are with your teams. That just like a player, right? I mean, it's you need a mental day off.
I need a mental day off, so I get that. Tomorrow's gonna be a very serious day. You got the draft, which starts at 8. I mean, that's going to go till midnight, right?
Yeah, it's going to go late.
Right, that goes late. Then you get the Knicks tomorrow night. And then Friday, you're back to the Rangers. Hold on, then you're on the weekend. But how about, then you get the Rangers on Sunday night, late.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I didn't like that when I saw that.
8 o'clock Sunday night for the Rangers.
Same.
Yeah, why?
I guess they want the Rangers in prime time.
Right, I get it. But, I mean, don't you, like, my kids have school.
Listen, you don't have to convince me. It's the last thing I want is an 8 o'clock Sunday night game.
Right, but, I mean, we're also trying to, you know, you saw the numbers. Like, that one of the highest rated series in the playoffs for the NHL is the Rangers series. I'd like my kid, you know, kids involved with watching it with me. And when it's, you know, 8:30, hey, guys, sorry. I know there's still 2 periods left. You got to go to sleep.
Right, bedtime. Yeah, let me look at Sunday and see what the Jets Avalanche at 2:30. Come on,
Predators at five. That's a good series. Yeah,
I'm not saying it's not a good series. I think it's a great series.
Well, it's at 8 because it's
prime. They want them in prime time,
right? Which does us no good.
No good. Right, but you know what? You could still put them at 7 and put them in prime time.
Yeah, but you get the game at 5.
Well, I guess. Right. Yeah, that's a shame. It's a real shame. But anyway, Rangers with a really, really, really good workmanlike win. Knicks are up 2-0. So you heard yesterday that the NBA came out with their final 2-minute report, and they said that Kyle Lowry was fouled. Maxey was fouled multiple times on that play at the end, and that Nick Nurse was taking a timeout. I still, for the life of me, don't see the timeout he's trying to take.
You saw the one he pretend like he was going to take.
Yeah, but he never pulled the trigger. He never actually called timeout. You want to say that there was a foul on Maxey there? What do you want me to do? Like, what are you looking for? You want to, fine. I'm sorry that the referee screwed up. It happens all the time in every sport.
Well, here's the thing, though. I didn't even hear them complaining. Like, I listened to the postgame. It wasn't even complaining about the foul stuff. It was we tried to call a timeout and I was ignored. It's amazing to me. And now we're probably singing a different tune if that was, you know, Jalen Brunson that got mugged.
I'm sure we are.
Right. But, I mean, this is also the same conversation we have, like the Iowa-UConn game. You can't call that foul. Well, what do you want? Do you want the players to decide or do you want the referees to decide? I mean, it was a physical game. They were letting some stuff go, especially on inbounds plays. And in those moments, Tyrese Maxey recognizes, yeah, I was probably fouled, but I also have to execute what I'm supposed to execute here. Ball's in my hands. I lose it. Fall to the ground. Call timeout.
Right. Call timeout.
Or Nick Nurse. Call timeout.
You don't need the coach to call timeout for you in that situation. And again, I question that one. You want to say there were fouls? Fine. But you know what? The Knicks got the benefit of the doubt. How many times over the course of the years have we watched our teams and said, I can't believe they didn't do this? Wasn't it the Giants this year? And I didn't make a thing about it. When they barely lost to the Bills, and they came out after, like, yeah, that was a blatant pass interference on the final play
of
the
game. Yeah, but that was because you wanted to lose that game.
Yeah, but no, that's not true. At that point, I didn't want to lose that game. A win would have really put the Giants in contention. Remember?
Yeah, I think that was actually a big loss for them, that Bills
game. It
was
a big loss. But, I mean, if you leave it up to the officials and that's what you're relying on, it's going to come back to bite you a lot.
Right, but you're also, I mean, if you're just going to sit with that he would, I mean, foul gets called like it's supposed to, according to the two-minute report. He goes down, makes his free throws. But you're also overlooking the fact that in that moment you didn't execute, right? He didn't, I mean, he ends up losing the ball. He doesn't call timeout. Nick Nurse doesn't call timeout. How about Kyle Lowry missing a free throw? How about not boxing out Isaiah Hartenstein and allowing him to get the first offensive rebound when Dante missed the first three?
How about how difficult it was for you to get the ball inbounds in the first place and how obvious it was that you should have taken a timeout and brought it up to half court anyway?
Right. So, listen, I mean, I was told my entire life that don't allow the referees, don't give them the opportunity to decide a game because there's going to be mistakes. They're human beings. They make mistakes. They miss things. And especially this time of year, some of the stuff that is normally called during the regular season isn't necessarily called because they allow more physicality.
You watched the Rangers last night. Cooley was elbowed in the face.
Right in the face.
Panarin was hit in the helmet in the face, and it was right in front of the officials. And Zibanejad, as clean as day, was tripped. Like, you saw it for miles. I mean, that's what happens. I'm watching the Yankees game last night. I mean, Juan Soto struck out. I don't think the strike was thrown in the
nope.
at-bat. I forget who it was on the A's. They called strike three. It wasn't even close to the strike zone. So this is, I mean, every game you watch, there's bad officiating. Every game.
Right. All you want is consistency. Like, you want to know early in a game.
You want consistently bad officiating.
Well, no. Like, it's like, so if you want to use the baseball example, if you have, I mean, an umpire that's just not great, but you know there's a certain, like, this is a strike he's going to call for the entire game on both sides. Right, he likes the high outside strike. It's going to be called every time because that's just he calls that a strike. So you know, at least he's consistent. At least that's going to be called. So I know going in there'll be a level of physicality in a hockey game. I know that they're going to let us play tonight, or they're going to be ticky tack calling everything. And once you set that tone, then you got to stick with it. It can't be all of a sudden you're letting guys do a little extra, and then as we get down the stretch, you start making these stupid calls that affect the game. It's the last thing you want. Set the tone and stick to it.
That's right. And we've had some bad officiating, and you know what? It's par for the course.
And that umpire last night, too. What a jackwagon he was, too.
Umpiring in baseball is brutal.
Dude, I mean, come on, man. Like, if you're going to be that bad, expect to be chirped a little bit.
Of course. Of course. All right, here's what we do now. We take a break, and we open it up to the Knicks and the Rangers. We'll get into the baseball in a little bit as well. 1-800-919-3776. We have Stump Rothenberg. We have Mel Kiper Jr. We have Stuff You Missed. We have everything happening today. It's the place you want to be.
Friends, you got to go see Dr. Jay Shah. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It's time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call our friend Dr. Jay Shah today at Samwell Pain. Dr. Jay Shah treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, and nerve pain. Dr. Shah is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shah to take a non-surgical approach with precise, image-guided procedures without pain medications. Enjoy life pain-free. Same-day and next-day appointments are available. Go to SamwellPain.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why would you wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah. Go to SamwellPain.com. Regain your active lifestyle and enjoy all your favorite activities pain-free. Samwell Pain now has three convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SamwellPain.com. You'll wish you met Dr. Shah sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Got an interesting email. I don't know why anybody would actually do this. But it's, if the Knicks and the Rangers are up 3-0 in their series and John, your boss and friend, sends the broom emoji for game four and the Knicks or Rangers lose the next two games, would you disown him? I'm hopeful that he learned his lesson last year after he did it with the Rangers, but it feels very unnecessary. Why would anybody do that now?
Well, why would he do that now?
Well, why would anybody do that now?
Right. Well, why would the Sixers broadcast team say, job well done, let's hit the turnpike?
I have no idea.
Right.
I love that they did it, though.
I love that they did it.
I love that they did it.
Here's the thing, so people should know. If Dave didn't disown John for claiming to be a bigger football fan than Dave is, then there's nothing John can do.
Right. I'm not going to disown him. I think that his take with being a bigger football fan than I am is literally asinine. But
well, especially after some of the things that he said in defense of himself, which is crazy. Right? Like, he doesn't care what's going on in between the 20s.
Right.
There are bigger things than football.
He's a red zone guy.
Yeah, bigger things than football. Come on.
Like, I said to him, like, aren't you going to get the YouTube, you know, the ticket? He's like, no, I don't need that. I mean, right there, that's a huge red flag.
A huge red flag. Well, how do we have in-depth conversations with him if he's only watching once they hit the red zone?
Well, you know what the thing is? It's like the Cliff Notes. That's what he is. He's the Cliff Notes for the NFL. He doesn't want to know the 33-yard line, what's happening. No, it doesn't interest him. He's not a four-play kind of guy. He's a give me the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, no. There's no messing around with him.
No. That's why he's got so many children, I think.
Good point.
Let's get to the calls, 1-800-919-3776. Vinny in Wisconsin. Good morning, Vinny. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you. Just wanted to say that, you know, going back on the officiating before you guys are mentioning, I feel like with the, you know, in the Rangers Cap series in particular, I feel like there's a lot of stop and start with the officials, especially like on faceoffs. I haven't never really seen that, and I feel like it's kind of taking away from the vibe of playoff hockey. And just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
What did you say? What was your problem again?
The stopping and starting.
On faceoffs in particular, I feel like it just takes away from playoff hockey overall.
Well, I mean, listen, it's going to be guys that are trying to win the faceoff, obviously, and guys are going to use that as an opportunity to get a little physical with each other, and as a referee, you want to make sure things don't get out of control. I mean, there has to be some order maintained. Yeah, I don't watch the faceoffs and think to myself it's taken away from the
I don't watch that either.
The
it's
vibe
not,
of,
it's, it, to be honest with you, it's not even a thought that's popped into my head until he just called and brought it up.
I'm not even joking. I would have never even thought of that.
Alessandro in Brooklyn. Good morning, Alessandro.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm 31 years old. I've been a fan of the Yankees, Jets, Knicks my whole life. And obviously, you know, following those sports, I don't remember the discourse around officiating ever being this sort of prominent, right? Do you think that the officiating is actually sort of regressed to the point where it has to be part of the conversation, or
what I think has happened? What I think has happened is we have so many cameras and so many views, and we have the strike zone box, and you can see everything, and it's high def. I mean, come on. When you're watching, when I was a kid, and I'm watching on like a little black and white TV in my own room, right? It's different than watching it on 80 inches of high definition and having social media and having things run rampant. I don't think it's any worse. I just think it's more apparent than it was 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Right. I mean, this is you have an ability now to see every mistake that every official makes.
Right. And then if you don't see it, now you go on social media and people are posting it. And people are posting slow motion of it. And people are posting, you know, commentary of it. And it's immediate reaction. It was never like this.
No, and I do think they are more sensitive now than in the past. And maybe that's it. Well, maybe that sensitivity is
they're going to get destroyed.
Right. Well, maybe that's, yeah, right. Is that, you know, at a certain point when all we do is continually, you know, poke at every single mistake that you make and not recognize how hard it is actually to do the job. Because it's not easy.
And for the most part, they get it right. Like, not exclusively, but for the most part, the officials get it right.
Right. See, what I don't like about it is if you make a mistake, just like as a player, if you make a mistake, right? There's repercussions to when you make a mistake, right? There's consequences, but also it's recognizing that you made a mistake. Like, especially now in Major League Baseball, where you've made a mistake and now someone wants to say something to you about it, and now my first instinct is, shut your bleeping mouth and I'm going to kick you out. Right? Like, that's not, it is not, the ump, like, people aren't there, again, and I know I've said this before, aren't there to watch you ump or watch you ref. They're there to watch the players play. And in the heat of the moment, a player may say something that you don't like, but as long as they don't get to that magic word or over the line, then it's, you're going to have to suck it up. Right? Like, you're going to have to, like, just, it's part of your job now.
They threw out the Yankees manager because a fan was yelling stuff the other day.
Yeah, when he explained what happened was, I don't care who said it. Well, what do you mean you don't care who said it? Your instructions to Aaron Boone were, shut your mouth or I'm going to kick you out. He shut his mouth, so it should actually matter who said it.
Of course it should matter who said it. And it's not like Aaron Boone represents the entire Yankees dugout. You can go and throw out whoever you want.
Right, but he didn't know who said it.
Oh, okay, well then you know what? That's a problem.
Of course it's a problem. And even the umpire yesterday was, I mean, he had a face that I would want to punch him right in the face. When he rips his helmet off and starts chirping, you're like, dude, your strike zone stinks, okay?
And it did for the whole, and with both teams too, by the way.
So what are we supposed to do? Just sit here and just let you know that your strike zone stinks?
Stop being a
freaking baby and have rabbit ears and just do a better job. That's all we're saying. Do a better job.
We talked about the two-minute report. Here's Tyrese Maxey. He was on the NBA on TNT discussing the two-minute report for the end of Game 2.
I got to be strong with the ball. I got to be able to, like, when I get on the floor, I got to be able to just hug it and call a timeout. But, I mean, it is what it is. Like, it happened. You got to let it go. I mean, you can't dwell on it now. If we dwell on it, then, you know, in a couple of days, we'll be down 0-3. We don't want to be down 0-3. You know what I mean? We know that we can still win this series. We got to go out there and prove that to everybody, not just ourselves. And it starts today, letting that go. And then tomorrow at practice, and then as soon as the ball goes up on Thursday, it being a tougher team, not just physically, but mentally as well. We still had a chance to win the game. I got my layup blocked, and then, you know, we missed a three at the end to tie. So we can't dwell on that. We can't lead the games in other people's hands. We got to go out there and take it.
All right, so a couple things. Firstly, I completely respect his answer there. You know, you could tell that there's a little, the officiating wasn't great, but we can't use that as the scapegoat and blame that. We blew the game. So I respect that. Second of all, we never discussed this. Why did the Knicks not foul down the stretch of the game?
Well, why did he just dump the ball off to Embiid like that? I mean, how about we mention that last possession? I know you got another great play by Hartenstein. I know you got your layup blocked, right? No, OG secures the rebound. But right. How about that last possession? It's like, okay, hey, I don't want it. You take it. And
right.
Embiid takes the three.
Right, but you gave him a wide open look at a three. Like, why didn't you foul if you're the Knicks? Could you imagine if that went in?
No. There are some people that just say, play it out, play good defense. I think Wally actually said that.
I am not one of those people.
No, because I think Allen said, why wouldn't you foul? And I think Wally said, no, you just play hard-nosed defense.
Oof. Where do you fall on this? I'm an always foul guy.
I would foul. Is what I would do.
Yeah, I'm an always foul. Because they had no timeouts, too.
Dude, listen. We would be having such a different conversation had the Knicks not found a way to pull that game out.
I think we would be taking call after call of I don't know, panic, but close to it. Because Brunson hasn't looked good. They split. They look good. We're in big trouble.
Right. Why can't Tibbs slow down Maxey? Well, what are they doing offensively? They got to find a way.
I thought OG is this great defensive player. Where is he?
Right. And there would have been reason for a little concern.
I know. I agree. Listen, I don't think the Knicks are out of the woods. I still think they'll win the series. I think they'll split in Philly, but I don't look at this as, all right, we just walk our way to win the series.
No, but I think what Tyrese Maxey said is part of the reason that the Knicks, maybe a lot of the reason why the Knicks are up 2-0 right now, is the Knicks are a tougher team.
Yes.
And they have been the entire season. That's who they are.
I think they're the toughest team.
In the NBA?
Yes.
I would say they're probably, up there with the Miami Heats of the world.
Okay. Well, Miami Heat are not going to be around for long.
No.
So I think at the end of the day, they will wind up as the toughest team in the final eight.
Right. And you also got to recognize, too, like in those moments, like Tyrese Maxey's 100% right. Like you have to, in those big time moments, you have to know exactly what's going on and you have to execute. And he didn't. Now he was fouled. They said he was fouled. That's fine, but it's not going to do anything for you now.
No, it does nothing for you. John in Morristown. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Nice to hear from you.
Thanks for making the call. Yeah, we appreciate it. What's up?
You got it. Hey, two things. Yesterday, that guy that emailed you about being annoyed that you guys were covering the Knicks all day. I mean, what a moron. Like, that's crazy. You guys are, you guys have your finger on the pulse. You not only know what we want to hear, you know what we need to hear, right? So, God bless you guys. We love you.
Thank you for that. And yes, we took no credence to him saying, how are you guys talking Knicks today? It was really the only story that we needed to talk about yesterday.
Ridiculous, utterly. The other thing I would say is, the Knicks pulling out that game yesterday, now it's not quite the same because it's not the World Series, but it was almost like game six of the 86 Mets, right? Like they were done, they were finished, the game was over, and they somehow pulled it out.
John, the Mets were down by two runs with two outs down to their last strike. And it was game six of the World Series. As great as the Knicks win was from Monday night, let's not compare it to the 86 Mets win.
No. I say it wasn't quite that. Absolutely.
It's not close to that, John.
Right. But just the way the fans felt after it, like you felt that jubilation, that hysterical kind of happiness that they won. Like, that's what I mean, right? Like, absolutely wasn't an 86 World Series comeback win, but similar vibe is all I'm saying.
It was great. Why does it have to be compared to, I mean, maybe the greatest thing we've ever seen in our lives? It was phenomenal, and it deserves its own runway. It was great.
Right. Well, cool. Well, again, thank you guys for what you do, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate the phone call.
It's because we live in the moment. We want to believe that what we're watching right now is the greatest.
But it was great.
No, it was great.
It was great. But I'm going to compare it to, I mean, listen, it was great. Do you think that you're going to be able to remember every single moment from that? I mean, that Mets play, 86, we're talking about 40 years ago, and it still is so vibrant. It was game six of the World Series. If you lose, it's done. Those are not comparable, those things.
No, I mean, I think it'll depend on what happens here, like what kind of run the Knicks go on. But, I mean, you're talking about that. I mean, that Buckner play is one of the most iconic plays in maybe sports.
I mean, they had announced the MVP of the World Series was going to be Bruce Hurst.
That's wild.
They put on the big the Jumbotron. Congratulations to the Red Sox and MVP Bruce Hurst. They had all the champagne was open in the Red Sox locker room.
I wouldn't even know what to do if I was on that Red Sox team and I came in after that loss, came to the clubhouse. And the champagne was already opened.
Well, no, they had to clear it out.
Or if I heard that like everything was already set up, champagne was open, time to celebrate, and we lost.
Ugh. I mean, you talk about a loss, though. I mean, you then allowed so many hits, and then you had the wild pitch, and then you had the error. I mean, I obviously gambling wasn't what it is today. If they had live odds on that, I don't even know if you could have bet it at that point.
I don't know how I would have responded. To be that close, to lose.
Fortunately for them, they've had a lot of success lately. But now, could you imagine that? And they still had to go 18 years to win that championship.
Right, but I mean to compare it to what happened with the Knicks is not.
No. Can you imagine if you were like an older person, and your lifetime you'd never seen the Red Sox win, and you thought you were about to, and it got ripped away. And then you died and didn't see 2004.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I'm sure got to be a lot of people.
Right, I'm concerned that I'm going to see the Jets win a Super Bowl.
And you're only in your 40s.
Right, I mean, once this Aaron Rodgers era is over, I mean, what's next?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Right, we'll probably draft a quarterback at some point in this draft and then just hope...
But you can't worry about that.
No, I'm not worried about it. But I'm saying, like, there has to be, like, right now we're all in.
All in.
The future be damned. But if it doesn't work out, how long does it take then to get back to this point?
Well, you also got to figure, if it's an absolute, disaster of a mess, they get a clean house too.
Right. So, I mean, how long does it take to build yourself up now to where you can actually compete for a championship again?
Well, I do think they, I mean, I don't want to get crazy here and get into a tangent with the Jets, but I do think they do have a lot of talent on that defense. But you're going to need to hire the right coach, bring in the quarterback.
Okay, right. Yeah. But how do you find the right quarterback? You have the sixth overall pick right now in a draft that's supposed to be loaded with quarterbacks. Now, who knows how many work out and who don't? And you're having a hard time getting up to get the guy that you want from six.
I don't have the answer for you.
Like, it's not easy. And if you don't have one, it's hard to get to that level where you're competing for the championship on a consistent basis.
You know what I would say? Focus on Aaron Rodgers.
Right. You have to.
Don't even worry
about it. Think about the Raiders. Good example of this, right? They like their new coach. They got some pretty good players. How are they getting the quarterback?
They're talking about moving up, but to move up, you're going to have to mortgage everything.
Which I'm sure they would if they could actually have the opportunity to move up.
Yeah, I don't have the answer. Bauer.
Yes, David.
I need you. You ready?
I'm always ready.
All right. The second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on, when is that, Bauer?
It's going to be a Thursday, May 2nd.
Are you going to that?
I will not be going to that.
Why do you do nothing?
What do you mean, why do I do nothing?
Well, we asked you to go to the pickleball. You said no. We asked if you're going to be at this. You said no. Why?
Yes, these are all work-related reasons.
But this is a work event.
Yes, and I can't go.
Great. All right, well, can you do the read with me now?
Oh, of course.
All right, come out to see the live broadcast, unless you're Bauer, starting. When does it start?
It's going
to
start at 6 a.m.
Where's it going to be from?
Publicans.
Where's that?
Manhasset.
That's right. Steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew will take the train to?
City Field.
What time is the first pitch?
It's a 1:10.
Let's see how closely you listen. What time do we walk into the game, though?
RJ said 12:55 last week. You said 12:50 yesterday.
Ooh. Oh, you're good. You know what? You may not be there in body, but in spirit you will. Who are they playing that day?
They're going to play the Cubs.
That's right. We'll be sitting in section
129.
It's the pregame party. It's Thursday when?
May 2nd.
Brought to you by?
Montauk Brewing Company.
Come as you are. And by?
Zing Zang.
America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy, please.
Zing Zang.
Responsibly. I got to tell you, Rick, as angry as you get at this Weasley guy, he's pretty good on that read.
Well, that's the frustrating part about Bauer, is he's good at his job, and he's a good guy, so you want to like him.
Is he a good guy, though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he gives off the impression that he's a good guy, but then you ask him questions, and he spits right in your face.
Right in your face.
Yeah.
It's a den of honesty here.
Sometimes too honest from you, Bauer.
Yeah, but we do promote the den of honesty, but the question I have is why would you not root for us in that match?
Because, again, I favor Amani and Anita here, and quite frankly, I think it's more fun if you guys lose.
For who?
So I've heard that from a couple people. Why is that fun for anybody if we lose?
Well, why would it be fun?
That's what Ty said. Ty said it would be more fun if we lost. Why?
Well, then you know what? Ty does not get me as a guest on a show.
You know what he told me, though? He said it's better if we lose because who knows what you'll say.
That's exactly, okay, but who that's knows exactly what, the point.
Who knows what he'll say if they win? If you guys win.
Right. I think it's gonna be better if we win what he'll say.
I mean, look at some of the things that were being texted this weekend.
I just want to win. I got pickleball today after the show.
Good. Also, by the way, Bauer, too. I mean the gall to root for a team that has a member that won't even give the common courtesy to send a text back to RJ? I mean, what are we talking about?
That's a real problem.
It's a real problem.
Wait, who is this? Did they send the text?
Amani Toomer.
Come on, man.
Oh, see, that's a bad look.
Right, and that's who you're rooting
for. But those are your people.
Yes.
That's your team.
Nobody's ever won the Kentucky Derby on a donkey.
Maybe he's the donkey. Maybe. We'll find out.
In baseball, they say you're only as good as your outfield.
Nobody says that, Bauer.
Kentucky Derby is coming up, though. Are there any donkeys in the competition this year?
There's no donkeys in the Kentucky Derby.
And right now, you're acting like a donkey. How about that?
What's the matter with you?
I know these things. Okay.
Oh, it's for content. It's just for comedy content. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, but apparently it fell flat.
It wasn't
great.
It
doesn't matter.
It wasn't your finest moment. And now a word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 55 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and Discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn completely guaranteed. Plus, enjoy TruGreen's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TruGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TruGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.